In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and as ever, the glory that is Mr. Sam Robertson, newly married Sam Robertson, and we are talking about harm in our inner being and how we deal and lose that from having a massive impact on the course of our lives. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Well, hello, beautiful, wonderful, intelligent, talented listeners. It's another episode of What the Prophets Say, and we are in the studio again in Glasgow in Scotland, sending you warrior greetings. I am joined, as ever, by the delight that is...
Sam Robertson.
The married Sam Robertson. And this is our first podcast with you as a married man.
Yeah, I'm a married man now, yeah.
And it actually has been a few weeks because we record these in block kind of sessions. We steward all our word of the Lord. We run to the studio to give you our best thinking so that we can strengthen you and equip you. And so many of you in the end of last year in your Spotify list had us right up there as favorite podcast.
I know, how wild. People listen to us with most of their listening time in 2023.
That's wild.
Wow. I mean,
Thank you, friends. Yes, we salute you.
Yeah, we do.
We stand and salute you and honour you. I hope, do you know what I secretly hope?
What?
They're getting a wee bit of an Irish accent.
Oh, they are. Well, you might need to send us some recordings.
But you know what I've been doing recently? I've had to amend my accent because I've been dictating a new book, which is going to be out soon. And it's funny because, of course, I've just published one, Becoming the Voice of God. You need Becoming the Voice of God. It's a real landmark book, really the journey of years of training into understanding the world of the prophet. But I'm actually just writing another one, but I dictate it because my fingers don't type very fast. You type fast, don't you?
I do, yeah, but when I write a sermon, I dictate it.
Oh, do you?
Would you not find that it helps better, especially when you're prophesying, to speak the word and to find a flow?
The orated flow, yeah. Absolutely.
Because when you then go to read something you've just typed, sometimes you think, oh, this sounds clunky.
Yes, because the reading and the speaking is completely different. But my Office software package does not understand. I tell you the word it hates the most.
What?
Full stop. What is wrong with full stop?
So what do you have to do?
Well, full stop. So because I get quite dramatic, full stop.
Okay.
At the end of the sentence, like woohoo, I have arrived with
You've
the end
said
of it.
What you said.
Full stop. It never does full stop.
Oh.
So I go, full stop. I'm like, I don't even know how to say full stop in an English accent.
Full stop.
I don't know. No. Do you know what it types? F-H-I-L. Phil.
Right, okay.
But I didn't say Phil, I said full.
Right.
Anyway, that's
what you're currently facing. So you just have to press a full stop now.
Yes. Well, no, and then it's a whole hassle. This is first world problems because then it doesn't give it. If I type full stop, whenever I then go back to oration and dictation, it doesn't put a capital letter at the beginning of the next. Anyway, but the point of it is, I have found, I am ashamed to admit this.
What?
I have had to put a W back in the word par.
So how do you say it?
I can't even bring myself to say it in a public setting. It's between me and my dictation software.
Right, okay.
But the Englishness that has come on the word par, about par, just to get the, anyway.
Just for it to figure out what you're saying.
There we go. It types a load of nonsense.
That's a real burden to bear.
This is a burden to bear. Anyway, more that's importantly, then I hope our listeners are generating an Irish accent. How's married life?
Yeah, it's brilliant. That is really good.
Yeah, oh, he's cute. You know, listeners, he's got such a wee cute smile.
It is really good.
It is.
It's just, for those of you who don't know, we were long distance, our entire relationship, 6-7 hour drive away from each other. So to be with each other and never have to say goodbye is just brilliant.
That's quite a shock because, of course, you didn't even have... I'll just pop over.
No, we never had that because it was 7 hours in the car.
Man.
Yeah. Or a flight or a train. So
it's quite a shock to everybody's little system there, isn't
but
it?
It's been really good. So
Right. You have to have me over for dinner.
Yes, we will. Well, we'll have you around the table. We'll cook you. We'll cook you something.
How's
and show
the table?
You. It's brilliant. It's really good. Yes, we're loving it. We're just loving life.
Sorry, the reason, this is a random question. The reason is that David and I bought you the table.
Thank you very much.
As a wedding present.
Beautiful. It's a really lovely table.
The table, yeah. I wouldn't normally ask people, how's your dining room table?
Yeah. Is that a good table?
It's a good table. That's a weird
question. It's a great table.
But in other wedding news, my father, he's nearly 75, my 75-year-old father is getting married. He's loved up in 9 weeks.
9 weeks.
Having got engaged a few days ago. He's like, so from engagement to wedding.
10 weeks.
I can't believe it. Literally, I've been ringing around wedding dress shops and like kilt tire shops. Well, everybody's like, sorry, you're going from engagement to wedding in 10 weeks. I'm like, I know.
No, yeah. Oh, honestly, I could feel the wedding organizing stress coming back thinking about 10 weeks.
Oh my God.
We had a year.
But I do think, you know, at that age, how many times has my dad read the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, many times cover to cover a year. He knows truth. He knows Jesus. He knows God's in it. And he's in his mid-70s and he says, is there a reason to wait? And he's absolutely right. Yeah. There's not. It just means the organizational ninja-ness is having to be found. Anyway, that's our up-to-date news.
There
the married Sam, my dad
soon
engaged.
Soon to be married.
Soon to be married, Pastor John Hansford. And here we go in our crazy world of covenant relationship. Okay, big stuff to talk about in the next few episodes because of where we are. So let's dive in. I want to start with a verse in Hebrews 12. You can feel the weight of God on this for right now. If I use the word delicious, I don't want to create the wrong emphasis, but it's like, it catches my breath. I can taste it. I can feel it. And this, so we're in Hebrews 12 and I'm down in verse 20 and we're talking about the mountain of God.
Come on.
We're even verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched. But then verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion.
Oh, yeah.
The city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks.
Wow.
And so this sense for me of this pull into encounters on Mount Zion, that actually I want to encourage our listeners, do not stop at lower levels of encounter.
Yeah.
Do not go to the encounters you had yesterday, but you have come to Mount Zion, this pull to this place where you can encounter the weight of God where he dwells to the innumerable number of angels in joyful assembly. This place of positional proximity, of authority, of being in the atmosphere of heaven. You can come in with your pain. You can come in with your disappointment. You can come into that place and there is no harm in that place.
Come on. It's such a reorientating of our life right now. And you can feel, you know, yes, the world is shaking. Yes, there's chaos left, right, and center. And yes, we'll talk about wars or whatever, but the door is open into being in God, to meeting God where he is in the spirit realm, and to not be as easily distracted or taken off course as we have in previous seasons. And there is this drive of 2024 has to be marked by a whole other level of encounter.
Yes.
And encounter, I believe the Lord is saying in 2024, is your daily bread. Encounter is your sustenance. Encounter is how you will thrive, not just survive. We're not talking about survival here. We're talking about how you thrive in the midst of what the nations are going through.
Yeah.
And the door is open. And I felt such a the Lord saying, look, I have made this easy. Don't make it complicated.
Yes.
The door is open to encounter, kind of like Revelation 1, you know, at 4:1, when John hears the trumpet and he sees a door, and it says this little phrase, which I love, at once I was in the spirit realm. And that level of encounter of meeting God in heaven is different, because oftentimes our encounters are, God, come and be with me where I am, come and visit me. And that is right. We need that. But there's a sense that you've got to understand what it is to go and be with God where he is on Mount Zion. But see, you have come to Mount Zion. Hear that invitation.
There are two or three reasons why the positioning of God on Mount Zion and us with him in his heavenly domain matters. In that proximity into the in Zion, what happens is this: I start to take on and breathe in the culture and the atmosphere of the heavenly places. I start to take on the mind of Christ by proximity. I start to feel well and not shaken. And can I say, guys, when you say, I am with God, he is with me, but I am in the place of Mount Zion. Yeah. I've come, you have come to Mount Zion, city of our great King.
Glorious.
Suddenly, everything within me, physically, emotionally, spiritually, click, lines up.
Yep.
You can feel it. You can feel immediate wellness. Now, why does that matter? Because we're then about to hit verse 26. Which is a quote of the Old Testament. And it says, once more, the shaking comes. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The verse 27, the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken remains. You will know the verses I've just quoted, verse 26 and 27 of Hebrews 12. Well, now, by the time we're in verse 28, we're then, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So we have got to see these verses in context. I'm in Mount Zion, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of our great King. The atmosphere is well. The atmosphere is not polluted. And suddenly from this posture, from this position, I have an elevated overview of what is happening on the earth, which is shaking. And that takes us into what we want to say today, because right now you've got to be positionally in the right place to have a hope of stewarding what is happening round about you. You have got to be positionally, mentally, emotionally, spiritually in Zion to have a hope of coping with what God is doing in the earth realm. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. And that's why we start with Hebrews 12. And Sam, we will be saying this to each other over and over and over. Where are you positionally? Because where you are positionally, emotionally, spiritually, will set the tone of how you cope with what's happening in the earth.
Absolutely. It's massive. And this place of God wanting to make us an answer.
Yes.
And I can feel Jesus praying that over us. You know, Jesus, whoever lives to make intercession for us, make them an answer. But you can only be an answer when you're established in the kingdom of God, when you're in the sway or the flow of a different society, a different city, another city. And that from that place, you become an answer. And look, the key here is, this kingdom cannot be shaken.
Yep.
And here's a practically, Let me give you a measurement here. If you feel disproportionately shaken at the moment
yeah.
by what you are seeing on the news or experiencing around you, if you feel shaken in an almost traumatized or fearful way, I would get you to ask God,
yeah.
am I living aware that I am in your kingdom and not in the kingdoms of this world? And that, I would say, is your test about how much you are living, encountering God on Mount Zion. Am I disproportionately shaken by
yes.
what I'm seeing? Now, it's not that you become ignorant when you are anchored in Mount Zion. You actually just become helpful. You're able to then drop
yes.
down into the earth and be a solution.
What interests me is, let's take the minutiae of, like, you scratched the car,
mm-hmm.
you know, not a big act, you scratched the car. That's in my head because my daughter just did that.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, so, what?
Why was that in my
yeah,
head? Because literally she scratched the side
right.
of my car. Yeah, joy. Anyway, it's, you know, I'd love to tell her I told her it was inconsequential, but I did not tell her it was inconsequential. I did the stern mummy. And now you were driving, you know, without due care and attention. Anyway, so she's wailing. And that, I don't mind her wailing response, because sometimes you just need a little bit of a, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you've got the kind of, you scratch the car type lifestyle stuff. But then you've got right up to the serious end of and the nation's shake.
Yeah.
So you're in Psalm 2. Why is, how is God able to laugh? It is because he is positionally in Zion, the city of our great God. He is in his domain of rulership, his own city of greatness. So when he laughs at the patheticness of the rebellion of the nations...
Yeah.
He, you know, it's because of where he is positionally. It's from an elevated place. It's why he's not intimidated by the nations. But can I say, if we catch a little bit of that in our own lives, you are then able to go from this reputational damage, this financial stress, this scratching of a car, this house move, this uncertainty, this I'm not sure where we're going, this will we live here forever, this where am I supposed to be, this where is my marriage partner, whatever the thing is
that shakes you,
and it can be any and all and layered, whatever it is. If your position is a Hebrews 12 position, you have a different perspective. But it's not just, I think I need to think like God. It is your emotions are held by the atmosphere of Mount Zion. So you feel and you respond differently, because you know this is not how your story ends.
Come on. And this is why it's about encounter.
Yeah.
You can modify your thoughts.
Yeah.
You can improve your thinking through self-help and self-effort, but you can never transform your inner world to line up with God unless you have encounter and intimacy. And there is this lining up of your entire being with the way that God does things.
Yes.
How does he do things? How does he function? How does he approach a matter or consider a situation? There's this way that God does things that he wants to invite you into. And can I say, this is not a matter of if I just think better and as your starting point.
Yeah.
This is a matter of, can I encounter more? And it is the prayer, I mean, for our viewers who are and listeners who have never done that walk, I mean, for me very personally, it is just, I mean, the prayer that I pray all the time is just, I want to be with you where you are, God.
Yeah.
And I will close my eyes and I want to be with you where you are. And sometimes I see it and sometimes I smell it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a click of, I just need to know it. I just need to feel the reality that I've been raised with Christ and seated in heavenly places. So I'm already with him where he is. I just need to pull myself into encountering that and being aware of it.
What is really personally pushed me here is two sentences that I had a conversation with somebody. You know, there are conversations that you just have that you think, I will remember this forever. And I don't know how personal I want to get, but the sentences are this, and I kind of ran through them at the top of this episode. You can have pain, but it doesn't need to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through pain, but it doesn't need to harm you. And the person I was talking to actually was not really my tribe, didn't really know what I was going to do with that or how I was going to apply it. But I sat in that concept of, I can have, let's take physical pain.
Yeah.
Let's go there first. I can have physical pain in my body.
Yeah.
And if any of you listening have had physical pain in your body, and it's been, let's go for the chronic, you've had something long term.
Yeah.
Where you are used to management of something off in your physical frame. The likelihood is that that physical pain will have done some sort of emotional harm.
Yeah.
Or that a level, let's take it out of the physical, or that there is a level of disappointment or damage that you've had by slander, look, just the ebb and flow of relationships that don't always work out. Let's just put it like that. That you can have you can have emotional pain. Let's move it from physical pain to emotional pain. But that doesn't always mean that you need to be harmed.
Mm.
And I think it was that thought in my conversations with God. Well, I do, look, I'm in my late 40s now. The likelihood is that anybody who's at that age has had some touch with chronic pain in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
You hope it gets healed. Or that they've had a multiplicity of relationships that have ebbed and flowed in their success. I'm being very polite there. So we have a stacked up level of distress somewhere in our psyche.
Mm.
And the thought that that doesn't mean I need to live in harm emotionally, spiritually, is remarkable.
Wow.
In other words, how I lead, how I'm a wife, how I'm a mother does not need to come through the filter of I'm harmed in some way.
Wow.
And that I can legitimately, because I don't think you're ever going to get through life without some kind of pain and wounding. Yeah. You're just not. But that pain and that harm doesn't have to stay. So where do I go and how do I navigate that? Only in Mount Zion.
Mm.
Because the only place that has the atmosphere of complete wellness is Mount Zion, where God lives.
Wow.
So you have to go into an encounter there where, now you can quote scriptures like the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, we can go into that scripture. And where we legitimately, biblically see that the atmosphere is righteousness, is peace, and it's joy. In other words, it's good. But it's harm-free.
Wow.
Zion is harm-free. So therefore, I can enter it with my pain, but I can become without harm, without wounding, and even without scar, I can be made new. And the sense of, oh, you can be wounded as long as, you know, you don't speak through a wound, you only speak through a scar. I'm a bit uncomfortable with that, because I think in all things made new, Sam, I can come in with pain, but the very core of my being can have lifted off it the fullness of the harm that has been done.
That's revolutionary. I think we still don't have the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom that we can be well. And so we still sit under concepts of pain management or wound management.
Yes.
Or I will always be like this. And I was watching actually someone that I really appreciate, a communicator.
Yeah.
Who trains, teaches on large conference platforms, particularly students, and they were talking very candidly about their anxiety. And their conclusion is, I will always have this.
Oh, no.
It will always be my fight, and that's okay.
No.
And so I'm here to endorse the journey. And it came out of, a good place of, I want people to feel safe enough to voice their anxiety, but then slipped into where I think we have come in the Christian world as much as anywhere of owning our pain in a way that it becomes an identity. This is who I am. I will always be anxious. I will never get fully free. I will never get fully over this anxiety place. And can I say, if you're anchored in the world, that's probably quite true.
Yeah.
But in Mount Zion, there is a fullness of liberation. And that only ever, for me, that brought a conviction of, you know, for them, they don't know me personally, but I was like, no, you can get free in Jesus' name. You know,
the shouting at the screen.
But actually, with Bella, my wife, talking about our own stuff, no, in our marriage, we believe there is the possibility at every point for full wellness.
Absolutely.
And we will champion each other, whatever that is, of we will stop nothing short of that. And we are not going to be managing each other's pain in a maintenance sort of way.
See, I think there is a misunderstanding about the limp that Jacob has. And the sense is, it's okay, I can wrestle my own pain and I will limp.
Yep.
It's not the scriptural context.
It's not.
Jacob wrestled God. And was marked by his wrestle with God. So be careful that we're not saying, it's okay for me to limp because I'm wrestling my own pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different thought process. So I do think we live in a world where many of us who go through tragedies in life get stuck in the harm that they have done to us.
Yes.
And we say to ourselves, life causes you to limp.
Yeah.
Whereas if I come to Zion and I'm in Hebrews 12 and I receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and at the same time it says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and shake everything basically that's man-made, I should be able to have anything that's from the kingdoms of this world, like harm, shaken out of me.
Come on.
So that is why, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the great God, the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm reading it again. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So you have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So that is, for me, I can encounter God in my living room, fine. He comes into my world and he's there present with me. Yes, yes, yes. He's the indwelling spirit. But I do think there is a level of encounter in a higher place.
Come on.
That we'll talk about it in our next. We were actually going to talk about politics,
but we're
talking about pain. Don't you love how you just follow the spirit
Absolutely.
Together? Absolutely. And that as we wrap up this episode and we come to think in the next episode about the crisis of the world, let me tell you, you cannot have a hope of navigating the crisis of the world if you can't even deal with your own harm over your chronic pain or your disappointment.
It's very true.
So I have found that, yes, I've got leadership coaches. Yes, I've got therapists. Yes, I've got osteopaths. You know, I've got to
need all that.
Look, I've got to the age where, like, come on, just, you know, when I was in my 20s, I just needed a good nail bar and a good hairdresser. Now the list of requirements is slightly longer, you know. So you just need to keep your body able to travel and move. You need to keep your mind, you know, as well as it can be. I actually love those conversations with these people. I love the understanding of, you know, from experts of who we are. Now, I can do all of that, Sam, and it does absolutely help.
Uh-huh.
But if I've not had proximity to God in Zion, I cannot touch the atmosphere of perfection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
And can I say very bluntly, I can hear a great sermon, but I've come to the age where information and enthusiasm on the platform that moves my heart for a moment and genuinely has a good impact of turning me around is not the same at lifting my harm off.
Come on.
As a Hebrews 12 encounter in Mount Zion.
Come on. Come on.
It's not to diminish preachers, because you and I do that.
Yeah. But we've made it our end goal, a lot of these things.
Yeah.
You know, if I just hear another sermon on this, if I just do that. And actually, we have made things so complex.
Yes.
Just so complex. And the simplicity of being in the Spirit. You know, I shared on Romans 8 just a little bit with our church family the other day. And the simplicity of not just the Spirit in us, but us in the Spirit, the God who indwells us. But actually that says, no, we are in God as well, in the Spirit from Romans 8. And the simplicity of that and the simplicity of the encounter.
Yes.
And can I say, someone actually shared, I led our family in an encounter around it and they grabbed me afterwards and they said the whole time I was in the Spirit, all I could hear was click, 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 click.
Yeah.
And I felt like I didn't have to try anything. This was their words. I didn't have to try anything, but I knew that just being with God where he was, that my insides were coming into order just by being with him.
Yes, yes. It really, in essence, what you're quoting is Galatians 5:25, that we keep in step with the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Is the syncopation of the rhythms of being in step with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So as we wrap this episode up, let me say to you very clearly, you can have legitimate nightmarish situations and you can be in excruciating pain in many ways, in all the ways, pain and stress and crisis can be felt. But here's the hope and the joy. You do not have to be harmed by it.
Come on. There it is. What a truth.
So I bless you, loyal listeners, into Hebrews 12 and the encounter in Mount Zion, the city of the atmosphere and the presence of the living God and the righteous made perfect.
Come on.
I bless you into that. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call in the pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.